Father, I just truly do thank you and I praise you for everyone that came out this morning to sit at your table to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, so much faith in here this morning, Father God, that it can truly say to the mountain, be removed, and it will be removed. And so, Father God, I'm asking you right now for all those that are anointed with this great faith, that, Father God, you just raise them up into the heavenly places and touch them, Father God, even with another double portion, that they can come back, Father, and go out there into the highways and the byways and set your people free. Right now, Father God, I'm just waiting for you to do this to these people. I'm waiting, Father God, for you to reach down and touch them in a way they've never been touched before. Bring them to the very height of your glory. Take them into the very depth of your heart. And Father God, love them. Love them into your kingdom, into your heart. And let them go forth with this love, this special love that you have, this agape love, and spread it throughout the nations. And Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father. Children, you are never alone. I am always just a whisper away. I am always standing before your face, forever leading, guiding, and directing your footsteps. You are on a new journey, a new adventure with me. And you shall overturn the kingdom of darkness. And you shall bring my glory throughout these nations. Tuck my promises away within your heart and never allow the enemy to steal them from you ever again. I am for you and not against you, and I am truly on my throne forever, leading and guiding and directing your footsteps. You know, God, when he told me to have the revival, he said, name it When the Light Shines. And we know that the light, what God is talking about, is we have a light within inside of us. And whenever we let everything that we've experienced with God come out, then the miracle's going to happen. And this is what God is still doing. He's still stirring up that light. And he's making that light brighter and brighter and brighter. And it's the enemy's not going to be able to ever put it out ever again. He's done all the dirt he can do. We are now on that road to bringing in the harvest. This is what God said. Well, I titled this, Can Your Light Cut the Darkness? God said, man says that fools rush in where angels fear to tread. But I am not man. I am God Almighty, and I go where I so desire. I go into the very abyss, and I tear down the kingdom of darkness. The darkness has no place in me, therefore I can tear down the kingdom of darkness. Hear what he said. The darkness has no place in me, God. Therefore, I can tear down the kingdom of darkness. Then he says, how bright is your light? Is it bright enough to demolish all of hell? Will your light shine so brightly in the darkest of regions that no enemy can hide from you? Is your light beam razor sharp so that it can cut through the darkness? My children, you cannot go into the regions of captivity with half a light. Your light must be bright and sharp. It must invade every region of hell. It must prevail through all darkness, and it cannot in any way be dim. Let's read that again, Brad. My children, you cannot go into the regions of captivity with half a light. Your light must be bright and sharp. It must invade every region of hell. It must prevail through all darkness, and it cannot in any way be dim. How bright is bright? Bright is so bright that it will blind the demonic forces, and they will not be able to comprehend what is going on around about them. God said, is that how bright your light is? I want you really be thinking about this. My word tells you that you are the light of the world, a light in the darkness. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. He's talking to everybody in the sound of my voice, all right? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew starts out, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And throughout this revival, God's been saying that we are setting on a hill. God has set us apart to carry the light into the darkness. And God said, children, where is your light? That light that lights every dark path so others will not stumble nor fall. That light that fills all the empty, voided places that the enemy tries to crawl into. That light that snuffs out every ounce of fear. That light that my son Jesus was for all the world to see. Then he says, how do I get that light, you ask? First, you must be full of the love of Christ. Second, you must have a love for the down and outer. Third, you must lay your own life aside for those round about you. Fourth, you must continually and foremost want what I want for my children, and that is total freedom from every bondage created in hell. Is this what you want for people? Or do you not care if they're in bondage? The fifth thing is, your total and complete desire must be to see all of creation free from fear and sorrow. There is a place in each and every life where joy unspeakable will overflow and will snuff out all fear and sorrow, which is darkness. But you are the vessel that I have chosen to use to allow my anointing to flow through and set the captives free. You. Y-O-U. Not the guy next to you, but the next guy to you. You're you then. So, you know what I'm saying? God wants to use each and every one of us. You know, there's no big I or little I. We're all one body of Christ. And God's been saying that one person can't do the great works that needs to be done. And we all know that. And we all know, and I've been telling you this, I won't meet the people that you meet. You won't meet the people that your person next to you meets. So we each one of us have a works to do. Each one of us has a light that we need to work on so it shines so bright that it snuffs out the darkness. And I'm believing with all my heart that during these 3 days, God's been dealing with us to a place where there will be no more darkness. Everything will be light. And you know, and whenever you get your light out there, then the miracles start. And we need miracles now like we've never needed miracles before. I was excited when you people here in the congregation said, God just spoke to me, said I should lay hands on people. And the one too that said that to me, I know that they have faith like you wouldn't believe. And I know when they laid hands on you that God did the miracle that you have need of. Now, are you going to allow the enemy to snuff out that miracle that you received? Or if whatever God took away, it tries to come back, you're going to say, see, I knew that didn't work. Or are you going to say, oh, no, devil, I was free Sunday morning and I'm still free today. That works because that's how I walk in that. You know, it's not something we just spout off. We've already walked through these things and we know how God works. All right, in Christ's commands, the first command to repent tells us how to restore fellowship with God and become qualified to enter his kingdom. The second command to follow me calls for a total change in goals and priorities so that we can become fishers of men. The third command to rejoice in persecution is the secret of becoming bright lights so that people will be attracted to our love and God's truth. Did you see that? And after passing the test of persecution, reproach, and having evil spoken of, we will have the brightness of light to be noticeable to others. All right, the second command was to follow me, calls for total change in goals and priorities so that we can become fishers of men. You know, how many of you, you have a goal out there? But because God's called you into his kingdom, you can't follow that goal. You have to set that dream aside and just do what God's calling you for to do. And the example I'm going to use is that I've always wanted a beautiful home, but I don't have one. And I always like nice things. And I used to have that, but I don't have that anymore because of what God has called me to do with people. And I sat last night and I said, you know what, God? I have that mansion in heaven. And one day I'll live in it, even though I can't live in it down here. Sometimes you have to give up your dreams to follow God and do what he's asking you to do, you know. But that's okay, because God has a better works for you to do. Since it has been noted that the church has very little influence in society, the question is, what must I do to let my light shine? And if you don't know that the church doesn't have any influence in society, that is the truth. People don't care. You know, they don't even ask you if you go to church or where you go to church anymore, because they don't think you should even go to church. All right. I must have a connection to the source of light. Sorry, since it has been noted that the church has very little influence in society, the question is, what must I do to let my light shine? I must have a connection to the source of light. In John 12:35, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So Jesus was telling the people, you know, while I'm here, you enjoy this light. You learn about the light. And John 12:46 says, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And those who follow Jesus actually become reflectors of the light. But John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world. Guys, you're born again. You've learned about Jesus. You've gone to deliverance and gotten all the junk out of you. Now you are a light going out into that dark world. All right? And when the people see Jesus shining through you, they're going to want what you have. And that is a fact. So we're supposed to be just like Jesus. Jesus let his light shine in a dark world and got people into the kingdom. You, each one of you sitting here today, you are given the same assignment to be just like we read the scripture last night where Jesus said, you will do the works that I am doing and greater works. All right. And God said, children, we shall surely go into the regions of captivity, and we shall set the captives free. And Jude 1:20 says, see what he said? See what God said? We shall surely go into. He didn't say maybe. Shall go into the regions of captivity, and we shall set the captives free. As your light shines upon the demonic influences in people's lives, that light shatters the enemy inside of people and sets them free. Brother Alan and I was talking earlier, and he was saying how God would always tell them to shed the light on the enemy that was inside, and it would leave. And see, we even need to do that for our own self. Remember, light is a weapon, and when the enemy is attacking us, we need to say, I shine the light upon you, and I tear down your dominion. And Jude 1:20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but on others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." We're always going to run into people who are really going to be super messed up. And we're not even going to like to touch them because of the filth, you know, from the darkness. But God says to go ahead and show your compassion, show your love, and minister to those people. Amen. Doesn't matter if they're an alcoholic. It doesn't matter if they're a drug addict. It doesn't matter what they're into. The light in you, when you show compassion to them, should break up that hard, bitter ground of darkness. God said, children, there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to keep walking until you see that light that will lead you to the end of the tunnel. How many of you said, God has said to you, there's light at the end of the tunnel? And you say, God, I don't see no light. I know I've done that. But you know what? There was a light. The tunnel was longer than I wanted it to be. But there was eventually the light, and you were set free. Right? God says, some of you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel because you have tunnel vision. And you cannot see through spiritual eyes. See, we don't see as Jesus sees. He already knows the end result, and we're still fumbling through this dark tunnel, trying to figure out how it's going to end and when it's going to end. Your eyes must be the eyes of Christ, and you must see as He sees. He never sees the negative. He always sees the positive. Some of us have to work on that because we don't always see the positive. He, Jesus, desires and is determined to look for the best in every soul and never goes beyond into the outer darkness. He, Jesus, sees each soul as saved. We're supposed to see as Jesus sees, right? So Jesus sees each soul as saved. Jesus sees each soul delivered. Jesus sees each soul on fire for the kingdom of light. And Jesus sees each soul as a child of the Most High God. How do you see the souls of the lost and forsaken? Well, let's be honest. The first thing we do is say, how dumb can they be? You know, and then we say, Father, that isn't how Jesus taught or thought. And then we bring out the compassion and the grace and the long suffering. And then we really start ministering to those who are down and out. Right? Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So I said, how do you see the souls that are lost and forsaken? All around us are people who need Christ. Do we see them? Have you really started looking at people around you, really looking at them and saying, God, give me the eyes of Jesus so I can see them as you see them, not as what my natural eyes see? We need to do that more now than ever in our lifetime. Because what we see is not in front of us is not the truth. But if we allow Jesus to let us look inside, let us look past that facade, you know, I'm fine, you know. We'll see the hurt and the pains and the degradation, and then we'll want to pray for a person and not kick them to the curb. I was upset not too long ago, and God said, just leave it alone. I'm taking care of it. He said, you don't want to bruise the sheep as you're getting rid of the wolves. You know. So we just have to put things in God's hands and let God take care of it. And we just need to do as Jesus did and go forth with loving compassion and minister the word. All around about us are believers who are struggling to walk with Christ. Do we see them? See what I put down there? All around us are believers who are struggling to walk with Christ. Do we see them? All around us are believers desperately wanting to be connected, but are entrenched in loneliness. Do we see them? We really don't. All we can see is ourselves and what we need, what we want. I was just talking about this to somebody. I didn't know God was going to give me this prophetic word for today, but I was talking about this to somebody yesterday, and I said, everybody's so engrossed in herself. They never see the need in somebody else. And all they're engrossed in is what I want to do. Not, well, all right, so I have a routine, but today I have to break that routine because I have to help a brother or a sister. You know, this is what we should be doing, but we don't. And so what happens, that brother and sister who wanted your fellowship leaves lonely, depressed maybe, wondering where the love of Christ is at. What do you think about that? Okay, so how do you see? Do you see through the eyes of Christ, or do you still look through the eyes of flesh? Fleshy eyes will not do the works that needs to be done on the streets, in the marketplaces, in the workplaces, even in my house where there are lost souls. It's God speaking this. You can't look at anybody or anything through your fleshly eyes anymore. It has to be totally by the Spirit. And it's really hard to die out to your flesh when you see the devil dancing in front of you. But see, that's not really the person. That is the devil. And we have to look past that darkness into what's really going on. Come away, my, God says, come away, my beloved ones, and allow me to wash your eyes with the eye salve of heaven, and allow me to change your vision so you see through spiritual eyes from this moment forth and not fleshly eyes. That's one of the things when I give the altar call that's going to happen. You're going to ask God to cleanse your eyes. And let them be spiritual eyes. See, if we would just have spiritual eyes when a person's acting up, we wouldn't want to kick them to the curb. We would say, God, let me see what is truly going on inside of this person. Why are they acting this way? And if you do that, I can guarantee you that God's going to tell you every time they're hurting. They need love. They need understanding. When a person's acting up, it's because they're hurting inside. There's something off kilter inside. And this is their defense mechanism. But we don't really want to go that deep because then we have to get involved. Right? Allow me to enlighten your eyes of understanding, God said. Allow me to repair all that is wrong in you, so that you can go forth and win the lost at any cost. You see what he said here? Allow me to repair all that is wrong in you, so that you can go forth and win the lost at any cost. In Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This is what Ephesians 1:18 tells us. That the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know all things about the heavenly place, not just guess what's going on there. How many people do you know say there is no heaven, there is no hell, we just exist? That's a popular saying. You know, there's a rude awakening coming for those people. And God says so many, many souls being weighed in the balance. Some who were not meant for the dark hole of the abyss are slipping into that hole each and every day because there is no intercessor for their souls. You know, when somebody hurts us, the first thing we want to do is get bitter and say, let them fend for themselves. Well, you can do that little thing for a second, but please get out of it and ask God to intercept and intervene on that person's behalf and whatever they need to give to them. God said, so my children, you must proceed forth this day with determination that not one soul is going to slide into the abyss on your watch. Are you listening? Right now, this is our watch. And God is going to judge us for what we do with the souls that we come in contact with. God said, I will equip you each and every morning I will guide your footsteps each and every day. I will bring you to the valley of tears and sorrows and show you just how to bring the souls into my kingdom. The reason why we don't know anything is because we don't get before the Father's feet and have him give us instruction. We don't ask him what's going on in a person's life. We assume that we know what's going on in a person's life. And what you assume is always wrong. There's always an underlying thing that's causing a person to act up. Life is a journey through the Valley of Baca, Valley of Tears, and on our journey to the safety of the City of Refuge. If we will learn to dig a well in every adversity, God's refreshing will come. Psalm 84, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. You know, Jimmy Swaggart, when he was in his deepest, darkest valley, he wrote about the Valley of Baca. And it's just a little tiny book, but I read that book over and over and over again. If you just understand, when you're in that adversity, cry out to God. He'll bring you through every time. He will give you wisdom on how you should act, what you should say, and what you should do. I remember when he got into his mess, God spoke to me and said, I couldn't believe it because I loved him. I still do. God said, don't talk about my servant. You pray for him because I'm going to bring him back. And he's going to be more anointed than he was when he first started. And that's exactly what God did with him. He said, don't get on the bandwagon of leaving him and rejecting him because he's still my son. And you know what? Whenever all those who did come against him and really run him through the coals, some of them I have been following and they have fallen and not gotten back up. So I'm saying you better watch how you're judging because that's been on my heart for a week now. As you judge, God is going to judge you. All right. Repenting what God said above. I will equip you each and every... I'm sorry, repeating what God said when we first started. I will equip you each and every morning. I will guide your footsteps each and every day. I will bring you to the valley of tears and sorrows and show you just how to bring the souls into my kingdom. Great dreams and visions await each of you that so desires that type of walk with me. That walk is a supernatural walk that no one can stop except you. I wanted to close these doors 3 or 4 times, and God said, these doors will never close. The only one who can close these doors is you, and I don't want you to do that. So when you're going through your valley of tears, don't do stupid things. Keep your eyes on the Savior and just keep walking because he has you in the palms of his hands. God said, all that transpires in your life is in your hands. Either you give me control or you give the enemy control. Come, my children, and let's talk. Let's get everything that is hindering out in the open, and then let's walk forth unhindered and bring in that harvest of souls. This morning, God wants you to give him absolutely everything that's hindering you in your walk with him. Then God said, the drumbeat has begun, the drumbeat of heaven that is causing all of hell to tremble. Come, my children, come away with me and follow that drumbeat and bring in the lost and the dying. God said, this is the one last harvest. This is the greatest harvest of souls ever brought into the kingdom of light. And I need each and every one of you to be in that army of believers that will work the works while it is still day. Remember, eye has not seen nor ear heard what is about to take place in my kingdom. God has been telling us over and over and over again. And you guys who really haven't been in Christ very long, You've stepped into one of the most glorious times of church history. You stepped into a time where the way has been prepared for you, and you're going to walk right into signs, wonders, and miracles. And I'm even hearing God say some of your names will be known abroad. And I'm hearing God say you're going to see all the healings that need to take place. Doesn't matter what kind of sickness, it doesn't matter who it is. If somebody with faith prays for those people, it's going to be an immediate healing, deliverance, whatever it needs to be done. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, my eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." God said so many miracles of healing just waiting for you to surrender all of yourself and allow me to accomplish the signs, wonders, and miracles through you. I just want to stop right. You guys, quit trying to think God. Just walk with God. Don't think what's going to happen down the road. Get up every day and just be a vessel of God to work through. And just let God, go ahead and do the things he needs to do through you. You're going to make mistakes. You just are. But that doesn't make you stop. You repent and you go on. And if somebody wants to judge you for your mistake, well, then God's going to judge them too. And that's not, you don't feel good about that. But I'm just letting you know how people judge you is how harshly they're going to be judged also. God said, you have seen absolutely nothing yet. Believe me, you have seen absolutely nothing as of this day. What is going on in the heavenly realm is a sight to behold, and I mean a sight to behold. The angels are ready. The heavenly choir is rejoicing night and day. The ones that have gone on before are rejoicing. Why aren't you rejoicing? Everybody else is rejoicing except us, the church of today. Why aren't you on the road to recovering those lost souls? Think about this. Why are you still sitting, caught up with yourself when you should be out there telling others about Jesus? And I know that some of you came in and God has drastically worked on you, changed you, and you've been bringing other people in. And this is what it's all about. But don't expect them to get the same thing you got. Everybody's salvation is different. God acts on everybody differently. So don't get all upset if they're not all excited like you are. Just be excited that they at least came to the house of God, maybe just one time, but at least they came. A seed was planted, and you'd be surprised. God's bringing the prodigals back. And those people that you told about Christ, and they might have got excited for a day or two, but then they dropped it and said, "That's not for me." You watch and see. God's bringing them into the house of God. Amen. He worked on them. He planted that seed, and then he's been watering that seed. And in a wink of his eye, he's been saying, those people are going to come into the house of God and serve him. God said, let's talk about religion. Who said religion was of me? I am not about religion. I am about spirit, and spirit is calling unto spirit this hour. And all that are walking in the spirit are hearing my cries, and they are rejoicing, and they have been preparing themselves for this final harvest of souls. Are you one of those? Are you anxiously awaiting each and every day for me to touch you and send you forth? Are you about the Father's business? Are you like a racehorse at the starting gate waiting impatiently for the signal to run? If you are, then you will hear the signal and you will be running after those lost souls with all of your might. And I will be empowering you to bring those souls into my kingdom each and every day. Come on, talk about street ministry. The street corner, this is God, the street corners will be full of my prophets, evangelists, and empowered ones, and the lost souls will be drawn to the anointing, and I will speak life into their dry, dead bones, and you will see Hallelujah Square all over again, and that means heaven on earth. God has come full circle around. When I first became born again and started a church, God had us out in the malls, on the streets, in the nursing homes, and God is calling us again in that direction, the body of Christ as a whole, back into that direction. And it was exciting then because miracles were happening all the time. And you would think, well, you know, we just were a tattered little bunch. But, you know, somebody was with us and they was embarrassed to go with us, but they went anyhow. And they said they were totally shocked at how the people, it was at the mall this one time, how the people got chairs and said we had a whole mall full of people listening to us singing. It's the spirit. It wasn't the people. We walked in the spirit, you know, and the spirit drew the people out of the shops and everything. And they just sat there and listened. We had a guitar player and a drummer and us. And we went to the mall and held a little concert. We went other places too. It was this one place, this one person, they told me later on, I was embarrassed to be up there playing. But anyhow, so you can't get embarrassed. I don't care if they do have a blue suit on or black, whatever they wear nowadays. You know, you're the one with the spirit, and you're supposed to be shedding that light, that spirit onto them to change them and rearrange the way they think. Bring them to Christ, not bring them to you, but bring them to Christ. God said, I am here to tell you, children, we are in this together, and I will be with you to do whatever you can believe for me to do. All right, so Naomi could believe that when she heard God's voice to go around and anoint the people, and she did that, and you people received. The Spirit of God fell. There isn't one stone that I will leave unturned until every soul hears my gospel, and I need you to take that gospel to a lost and dying world. I don't care if you've just been saved one day. If the Spirit of God is in you, you can go forth and, you know, and God's going to use you to do miracles. I don't care if you understand. They went, you know, whenever God called me to start a church, I said, I don't know how to do that. I didn't know nothing. He said, my Spirit will teach you all things. And this is what you have to do. You have to just, by faith, step out there, take the Holy Spirit with you, and He'll tell you exactly what to do, you know, how to do it, when to do it. And you'll see signs, wonders, and miracles occur all over the place. Not everybody's going to like you. So get that taken care of right now. But Jesus loves you. And Jesus needs you. And the title was, Can Your Light Cut the Darkness? And I want each one of you to sit there and think, okay, I don't care how long you've been in church. You might have a religious spirit instead of walking in the spirit. Do you have enough light in you to cut the darkness? God wants to lead you out of your darkness into His marvelous light. And He wants to touch you and consume you so that He can send you forth to win a lost and dying world for Him.